be on. Wayne, thank you very much for coming to join us this morning. If I may, I'll just pray with you before you speak.
Please.
And Father, we do thank you that we have Wayne here this morning. We thank you that he's come to share your word. He's come to talk to us about you, about faith, about belief. Heavenly Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will flow through Wayne's words, that we will hear from you as Wayne speaks. Lord, may his words be a blessing to us. May you bless Wayne as he shares with us now. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Wayne.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you very much for the very warm welcome of you given Glenn and myself and Simon and Gemma. It is nice to be welcomed into a church. And I also want to thank you, Graham, for leading and for the musicians and for Sam for giving your testimony and all the technicians. You know, we take it for granted, don't we, that everything just happens. But it doesn't. There's a lot of work behind coming into a service. You come in and everything's fine. It wasn't that way this morning. But anyway, remember, we've come here to worship God. And that's our main purpose. And we're going to now worship him in looking at what God's word has to say to us. But first, I thought I maybe ought to tell a little bit about my story. Because I've been in a situation in the congregation, and I see this person up there speaking, and I thought, well, who is he? Where is he from? What authority has? You know, just because a guy says that he's got knowledge or authority or something or other, it's not always that way, is it? And that's the reason I want you to, when I preach, look at the Word of God and make sure that I am saying what I should be saying. Be like the Bereans. They search the scriptures to make sure what Paul was saying was the truth. Well, anyway, like I said, I've been introduced as Wayne Carlson. I'm married to Glenna. We have 3 grown-up children. 2 of them are married, and we have 4 grandchildren and another one on the way. You can guess, I was born in the United States of America. And I was brought over here in 1966 in the Air Force. I was stationed at RAF Auchinbury, which is just north of Huntingdon. And I was there for 3 years. And my job was a photo interpreter. But because it was a training base, I spent more time unrolling film, burning it, pushing a mop and a broom. So my weekends, and I had a lot of free time. And we used to worship at a little place called Great Gidding, a little Baptist chapel out there. And that was where I met Glenna. And we were married in 1968. It'd be 50 years this year. And then in 1969, we went back to the States, or I went back to the States, and Glenna followed me. And we went to Bible college for 3 years, graduated, came back here in 1972. And that's where I felt that God had called me to. Involved in a couple of churches and retired, and now we attend Bluntisham Baptist Church. I could say a lot more, but that gives you a bit of an idea about me. Like I said, and sometimes I talk too fast, maybe a mumble, and if there's something you don't understand, just wave to me and I'll probably wave back to you. But please open your Bibles to our passage in John chapter 20 and verses 24 to 29. This is the passage that we're going to be looking at. Now, Thomas gets some bad press. Doubting Thomas, don't we? But, you know, he wasn't the only one that doubted. If you read in Matthew chapter 28, at the time of Jesus giving the Great Commission, it's got that strange passage that they were overjoyed and thrilled, but some doubted. And so if you're here today this morning to come to worship and you've got doubts in your mind, well, you're not alone. Let's face it. The resurrection is in the realms of the impossible, humanly speaking, shall we say. But let's look a little bit about Thomas first. He was one of the disciples chosen by Jesus. and that he would teach and then send them out to preach. He got the nickname of the twin. Now, we're not quite sure why he was called the twin. It might have been that he actually was a twin. And so, oh, that's a twin. But traditional teaching tells us that Thomas went out after the resurrection of Jesus as a missionary to Greece and then ended up in India. And it was while there he was preaching and teaching about Jesus that he upset some of the rulers or the religious people of that country. And they killed him. And there's a tomb there in India where he's supposedly buried. And they built a church in honor of Thomas. It's in a place called Chennai. I think that's the way you pronounce it. Chennai. Thank you. Yes, that's what I was going to say. I always knew it as Madras in southeast, on the southeast coast of India. A beautiful cathedral, as you can see there, that they built. And I believe that Thomas was a serious follower of Jesus. And he was not afraid to ask questions about the things he didn't understand. Remember in John chapter 14 where Jesus says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And I'll come back for you. And you know where I'm going. And Thomas says, hold on. No, I don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Can you imagine what Jesus must have thought? I've been with you 3 years and you still don't understand. But I commend Thomas because he asked the question that probably all the other 11 were asking. And sometimes, you know, we have a question that we want to ask the preacher or the teacher at a Bible group, and we keep quiet because people will think, well, oh, you're stupid. Don't you understand? And they'll, but you've probably got the question that others are thinking about but not voicing it. So don't be afraid to ask the preacher what he was meaning, what he was saying, what that person, you know, explain what you're talking about. Because we're up here standing preaching and we think that you guys know everything. And we also appreciate it when you do ask, because that means you're listening. You're wanting to know. And that's what Thomas did. And we're glad to answer questions. But you know, sometimes preachers use concepts and words that just try to impress the congregation. And that doesn't do any good either, does it? Now, so be like Thomas and ask questions. I also believe that Thomas was a very brave man because in chapter 11 of John, when Jesus was going to Bethany to raise Lazarus, the disciples didn't quite understand it. They said, look, Rabbi, you know, they were going to kill you and now you want to go back there. And when Jesus said, no, I'm still going to go, what did Thomas say in verse 16? Let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas was brave, well, at that point anyhow. And he had the right attitude. And if tradition is correct, Thomas did die for his faith in Jesus Christ. So be like Thomas and be brave and follow him to the end. But of course, this passage is what we know Thomas best for. It was on the evening of the resurrection, the disciples had gathered in the upper room with the doors locked, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared there. Thomas wasn't there. We don't know why he wasn't. The Bible doesn't tell us. And perhaps he was scared to go out. Perhaps he was depressed, sorrowful. Maybe he just wanted to be alone after all the things that had happened. We shouldn't try to even speculate. I heard one preacher say, well, that's what you get for not attending a meeting, isn't it? You miss out on blessings. I think I was a bit harsh, but it might be true as well. As we know, the other 10 disciples were there with the others, with some of the others, and they had actually seen Jesus appear. And the Bible tells us that they were scared. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, no, I'm real. Touch me. Feel my hands. Look at the nail prints. Touch my side. He said, give me some fish and I'll eat it, to show that he wasn't a ghost or a figment of their imagination. And the disciples actually touched Christ. Well, during the week, you can imagine they saw Thomas. And they were quite excited. We've seen Jesus. He's risen from the dead. We've touched him. We've seen the nail prints. And you know, I can understand Thomas. I'd be the same way. Now, you saw him. I mean, even though 10 people said that, unless I touch him, unless I see the nail prints, I will not believe. Funny that way, isn't it? You know, for several years, I lived in the state of Missouri in the USA. That's in the middle part of the United States. And they got a slogan about the state. It's a state motto, I guess, almost. It's called the Show Me State. In other words, show me and then I'll believe. Now, how that saying come about, I'm not quite sure. But it's on their number plates and there's signs all over the place where they bring that up. And there's, like I said, two or three stories why it come about. But however the slogan was originated, it's passed to a different meaning entirely. And is now used to indicate the stalwart, conservative, non-credulous character of people from Missouri. And people think that Thomas was that kind of a character. But he's certainly not alone. So a week after the day of the resurrection, the disciples met again. Now, I'm not sure why they met. Maybe to pray? To discuss? Maybe to encourage one another? That's the reason we meet. But we also come to worship too, don't we, as well? And again, the doors were locked, closed. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes and stands amongst them. And he says, peace be with you, to calm their fears. Now, don't be like Thomas in this situation. Without any further words, he goes directly to Thomas and he says, put your finger here, Thomas. Reach out, put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. The other disciples had touched the hand prints, nail prints. They'd seen the spear wound. He wanted that same experience. And you know, I think you and I would probably have been very similar in the same situation. The resurrection of the dead person is the most extraordinary event. It doesn't happen, although Thomas did see the resurrection of Lazarus. And what was Thomas's reply? You know, we're not actually told that he actually touched Jesus. But he said, my Lord and my God. A confession of the deity of Jesus Christ. Whenever you read other instances in the Bible where a person bowed down to another person in worship because they were, well, standing in awe of him, they'd always said, whether it was an angel or Peter or Apostle Paul or one of the others, said, stand up. I'm a man. I'm a just like you. Worship God. But in this passage, Jesus accepts the worship and being called God by Thomas because he was God. He is God. And he deserves all that kind of worship. He's not rebuked. Listen carefully now to what Jesus says to him. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Thomas made the statement that unless he saw, he would not believe. And you know, God in his mercy answered the request of Thomas. And he saw and believed and made that confession. We should be noted that we do not read that the other disciples said such a thing as that, did they? It's only Thomas made that statement. And then Jesus goes on to say, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Yes, sometimes God grants us our whims and our desires. But it's really better. He is better pleased when we trust his word and believe without physically seeing. And that's what it really, that's just when we are really blessed. And this is called faith. Faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. This is what God's people were commended for. It is faith that pleases God In fact, we're told that without faith, we cannot please God. Some people think they can do all kinds of things that are good and are doing good for, because by doing these things, they think they're pleasing God. Nothing wrong with them, but they do it to try to please God. But unless it is done in faith, it does not please God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Anything done without faith is sin. God is pleased when we believe what he says. God is pleased when we act on his word. We are told to walk by faith, not by sight. In that great chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read of men and women who followed God, and many of them did not see actually what was they were looking for. But they went ahead walking step by step, knowing that God was directing them. Enoch, Noah, Joseph, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, and many, many more. You know, one of the best illustrations I've ever heard concerning faith was that in the Indiana Jones film, perhaps you remember it, when they were searching for the Holy Grail and he had to find this, he wanted this grail that they used for the Last Supper. And he thought that if my father drank from this grail, from this cup, he would get well. And he was given three clues, rules, to go there. First of all, he had to be humble. And that means to bow down. And by doing that and crawling through, humbling himself, he avoided the axe that would have chopped him in half or chopped off his head. The next test was the thing, there was a gap from here to there, perhaps. And there were letters, and he had to spell out the name Jehovah. And by stepping on the right letters, he was safe across. If he stepped on the wrong letter, he would go down. The third command, or the third thing that he had to do, was to step out in faith. And if I remember correctly, from seeing the film ages ago, he could see what he was looking for over there, but there was a huge gap. And no way could he jump, run, or anything to get to it. And the thing was, step out in faith. And so, as he stepped out in faith, all of a sudden, he saw it was safe, and he walked on something solid. And you know, that is what faith is. Sometimes we're told to go out, step out, and we cannot see what the future is, what we're supposed to do. But when we do step out believing God, then God makes it very, very plain for us. Sometimes as Christians, it seems like we're facing a bottomless pit. But if God has told us to do it, it will happen for us. And may I say here, let's not attempt the impossible unless we have clear instructions that God has told us to do so. Because some people have got it in their minds or wishful thinking that God has told them to do something impossible. And they go forward. God's told me to do this. And he jumps out and falls flat on his face. That's not faith. That's what we believe in ourselves. A seemingly impossible thing to believe and to do is to trust wholly on what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and not to trust in our own goodness or ability to win favor with God. Salvation is a gift from God, something we do not deserve or merit. And God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. In the book of Romans, Paul writes, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Faith is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We cannot conjure up faith. This comes from God in his Spirit living in us. And after we receive faith, we must do all to keep it strong. Faith is also a fruit of the Spirit. As we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, he will produce fruit in our lives that we may live godly lives, to speak to others of Jesus Christ, to make right and holy decisions. Another thing about faith is the shield of faith. And that's having that shield of faith as we read in Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God. As Christians, we take up that shield of faith where we can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. When Satan whispers lies in your to you about God's word, saying, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? And the shield of faith says, yes, the word of God is true. I can believe God's word, and I don't need anything else. And the lies would be bounced off of that. Without faith, we cannot please God. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Are you one of those who believe even though you have not seen? Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that without faith we cannot please you. We would ask that you would increase our faith, that we may walk by faith, that we may have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to live out that. Protect us from the lies of the evil one, that you may be glorified in us. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.